rest of the story. You have just invented something. Your invention is not quite perfected, but you know what it's going to take to get it working. You even have the plans on paper. Now, technically, you should not file a patent application without a working model. So how do you protect your brainchild? What you do is to go to the United States Patent Office and you file something called a caveat, a document expressing your intent to invent. Careful now, include all of the diagrams, all of the explanations. And then you will have gone on record. This is your invention, and you will have 2 years to make it do whatever it's supposed to do. On February 14, an inventor named Elisha Gray walked into the U.S. Patent Office with the plans for his most recent invention under his arm. The device itself was yet imperfect. That is to say, Mr. Gray had just not gotten around to building it, so he did not file a patent application. He filed a caveat expressing his intention to complete the project within 2 years. Now, the legal weight of a caveat's impressive. Companies have paid millions of dollars for such rights. So Mr. Gray's device was indeed protected. The only thing that could conceivably place his rights to his invention in jeopardy would be for another inventor to file a patent application for that same invention that same day. 1 billion to 1 shot, you say? Well, you'd better hear the rest of the story. There is a white brick Victorian house in suburban Chicago, Highland Park, the home on Hazel Avenue, where once lived this gentleman named Elisha Gray. Mr. Gray was an inventor. He patented some 70 devices, including one that transmitted pictures by wire. His genius was an obstacle in only one sense. There was simply not enough time to build all of the inventions that his brain could conceive. It was in his laboratory in that house on Hazel Avenue that Elisha Gray conceived most of his inventions, and one in particular, a gadget in which he personally believed, though his business associates did not. His business associates wanted him to concentrate on what they considered more practical things. So Mr. Gray, unwilling to abandon his pet project entirely, filed a caveat with the patent office, a document expressing his intent to invent. Now at least his device was protected, or so he thought. For that same day, February 14, 1876, another inventor filed a patent application in that same office for that same invention. Ultimately, the courts would decide that this other fellow's patent carried more weight than Gray's caveat. But this is the rest of the story. The device depicted in the other inventor's patent application was inoperative. It could not possibly have worked. What it needed to make it work was a component already described by Elisha Gray in his caveat. And yes, according to a sworn affidavit by the patent office examiner at the time, the other inventor discovered the contents of Gray's filed document. And he, the other fella, whose patent application had been prematurely filed, he then went home to complete his device. He had stolen the necessary information with which to do it. So you never heard of Elisha Gray. You've always thought it was that other fellow, Alexander Graham Bell, who invented the telephone. Maybe, in a sense, that is so. Only now you know the rest of the story.